In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my dear Christian brothers and sisters, in his name, amen. I hope that you will be able to appreciate some of the dilemma that I faced in the days leading up till this morning. As I thought about the gospel reading for this day, I thought, well, it is St. Mark the Evangelist Day. It is call week at the seminary, vicarage assignments, first calls. So we have this gospel that says, go and proclaim. Piece of cake. Perfect fit. But then there's also this other stuff, you know, handling snakes, drinking poison. And I got to thinking, and that's always dangerous, I thought, well, that would be interesting too, to fit all of that in. And so I decided that the topic or the title for our homily this morning would be this: Reptilian Evangelism, Seven Cautious Steps. Now, not thinking that it would really be all that humorous to do that, I rethought again. And I was drawn, of course, back to the opening words of our gospel on this commemoration of St. Mark the Evangelist, and I would ask you to hear again as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, recording the words that our Lord spoke himself when he said, go into all of the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Now, apart from Jesus Christ, we know no God. None. We can only talk about God in Christ. God outside of Jesus doesn't wish to be known or even approached by us. It's only in Jesus, then, that we can truly say what the true God desires, wants, or wills. And what might that be based on our gospel reading for this day? Well, he desires that the whole creation would be saved. Jesus uses all the authority he has over heaven and earth to send his saving gospel out to all the nations. Now, he could have sent into all of the nations to get gold, other material things. He could have sent to get people who would do things for him. But no, he sends his gospel into all the world to make disciples by baptizing and teaching. Don't go make that word disciple into a law word, even though we might be inclined to do so, as if in the end it's true that the true God, Jesus Christ, is really just like every other false god out there, wanting people to do for him. No, Jesus wants all people, all nations, to be baptized into the triune God. Baptism is something that the triune God does for us. It is not something that we do for him. Baptism is a glorious thing. What a glorious thing it is, then, to literally be brought into the triune God. What safer place could there ever be? Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. This is Mark's gospel, but in Matthew's gospel, Matthew says, well, what about teaching them everything that I have ever said? Teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. That sounds like law too, doesn't it? But are the commandments of Jesus burdensome? Follow me, and I will give you rest. Be baptized and wash away your sins. Confess your sins to one another. Take, eat, take, drink for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this do this often. The commandments of a God who is shrouded in smoke and lightning, those commandments might be burdensome, but that's not true of Jesus. Be baptized, be forgiven, be fed. Those are all commands to receive his gifts. It's like giving your child the command, open your birthday presents. No child would ever think of that kind of a command as a burden, would they? Now again, in St. Matthew's account, this Great Commission, in that Great Commission, Jesus says that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him, to the man, Christ Jesus. And Jesus again says that his desire is for the saving gospel to go out into all of the world, the whole creation. And then Jesus promises that he is with those who go out with his saving gospel all the way to the end of the world. And so those of you who within just the last 36 to 48 hours have received your vicarage placements and your first calls, you would do well to remember that great promise of our Lord. Then again, all of us would do well to be reminded of our Lord's persistent and pervasive presence among his people. Now, all of this tells us two things, really. First, the baptizing and the teaching by which the Lord makes disciples of the triune God, that will continue until the very end of the world. There isn't going to be a time or come a time when we will be without his baptizing or his teaching in this fallen world. We will always have the means by which the Lord Jesus brings us to the triune God. And second, it tells us that this baptizing and teaching will always, always be efficacious. It will always be powerful. The Lord, the ruler of heaven and earth, is with it. When his ministers baptize, it's Jesus, the ruler of heaven and earth, who escorts the baptized into the triune God. When his ministers forgive sins, it is no less than Jesus who is sending them away in that forgiveness. And when his ministers give God's people Holy Communion, it's no less than Jesus giving his body and his blood. St. Mark the Evangelist knew his God well. His God isn't a nameless, faceless divine being who hurls lightning bolts from the sky. No, God help us if that's the God that we have been called to proclaim to a dying world. No, Mark's God, our God, is Jesus. The hands that do indeed hold those lightning bolts are the very ones that were given to the executioner's hands to be nailed to the cross for our sins. Those hands that hold the world now are the hands that picked up children tenderly, healed the sick, raised the dead, and then were raised to heaven on our behalf. The hands that hold your future, wherever you may be, those hands right now hold out the offer of divine flesh and blood to you for the forgiveness of all your sins. So come. Come with Mary Magdalene and with Peter and with John and with Mark the Evangelist and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. Come. And there you have another command that will never be a burden. In Jesus' name.